marks in here, the smarks in here, yeah.
Doom. I reference Cena so much, I'm sure you assume that I got a man crush, but I swear it's just random, not fandom. Ignore the lifelike mannequin. You can't see it, I didn't see it. Next to me in my Kia, and drive somewhere scenic to watch a sunset in Phoenix, share a box of Kleenex, to leave it in the middle of a bee's nest.
Yo, it's your boy Sean Puff. I'm here with Nick Missile, and this
here
is Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Geeks.
Let's go. Hey.
I've been trying to hit that longer and longer every time.
That's funny. Because then by like the end of the year, it's going to be like, ooh. Like.
Oh, my nose is going to be shutting me off. He's going to be like, yo, that's the episode. That's the show, dude. Well, what's up, everybody? It's great to be here. Of course, Lionel on the boards doing all the production work over there, keeping us on time. Nick, glad to have you back.
Hell yeah.
I mean, you were
here. It's a pleasure.
Before.
It's always a pleasure.
Right, you were here before, but you weren't here because that episode kind of the lost episode.
Yeah.
The lost episode already, which is
the focus was on Anthony anyway, you know what I'm saying? So
we'll get back. That'll get back again. We'll be doing that again. But man, we got a great episode for you this week. Of course, I saw everyone's been on that reel about next week's episode. Next week, Hulkamania anniversary. So make sure you check that out. But this week, we're going to review Hard to Kill, a smart side review. TNA Wrestling back at it. Went from TNA to Impact, back to TNA. This is their second pay-per-view.
Second?
Back as TNA, but like their first one, now that they're like officially formed and doing their thing. So
I haven't watched TNA, honestly, since they switched from Impact.
Really?
So it's been a long time. It's
like
been like
that 8-sided ring or 6-sided ring or whatever.
Like when they had Mr. Kennedy type shit on there.
That was a long time ago.
Wow. So I'm excited that they're rebranding, getting back to it.
I feel like they needed to do it because like Impact just had a bad rep.
Yeah. Like
everything they went through with what's her face? I can't think of her name, the woman that was running it. But they just had a lot of bad rep from that. And then all the stuff with Hogan coming in and Bishop coming in. And they just kind of like ruined everything there. So it's good to see him getting back to basics.
Yeah, definitely like after a decline too, you know?
Right. And this show was great. We had a lot of surprises showing up. It was funny leading up to it. I felt like the lead up to this show was kind of lackluster. They kept like, the tagline for the show was, "You won't believe who might show up."
So how are they doing like the promoting process? Like,
that was kind of it. That was the promotion. Hard to Kill. It's TNA. We're Hard to Kill, and you won't believe who might be here.
Like, who?
Really?
Like, is Jeff Hardy even still on that bitch?
Jeff Hardy's in AEW now.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Okay.
He needs to retire. We're not even on the Hardys. That's a topic we're going to talk about a little later today. I'm sure Lionel's ready for that one. I'm sure you got some. We get to the Hardys, but so Hard to Kill. It was last Saturday night at Las Vegas, Nevada at the Palms.
So it's been hot as shit.
Right? Saying out of all the places to do your first show.
You can stream all that on Peacock and stuff, right? Or is it?
No, it was actually on Fight TV. So Impact TNA has their own app, kind of like the WWE app, kind of like Peacock.
Yeah, yeah.
Except they're weird. It's the same price as you would pay for any of the other, like if you had New Japan or if you had WWE's app, except it doesn't play all their pay-per-views.
I'm confused. I clearly don't know anything because I thought it was like under the WWE.
No, because WWE was trying to buy it and they bought like some of their catalog.
Yeah.
Some of the past catalog, but they never officially bought the whole company. It's owned by Anthem.
Oh, okay.
So Anthem owns them right now. And the whole basic of their app is weird to me. Their minor pay-per-views are free on the app. So you pay $10 a month, you can watch all the regular shows.
Yeah.
You can watch all the old stuff. You can watch the main pay-per-views down the road, I think.
Oh, but not right away, not live.
Not right away. They put them on Fight TV or Trill or whatever the hell it's called now.
It's kind of like how like Fox handles all the football games, and then sometimes they get on ABC and NBC, and you can stream it on the app, but if you don't have cable, you can't watch the Fox games. Like,
right.
It's stupid.
I don't like it because I'm like, if I'm going to pay you $10 a month to watch your to have I should your be app, able to. I want to get all your pay-per-views.
That's what I'm saying.
Some of them, and then the crappy ones I get for free.
Especially if you own it too. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right. It's under the umbrella. Like,
the good ones you send up to Fight TV and then go pay $40. What is that? Why am I paying you $10 more? I was actually pissed. Because my subscription to the TNA app renewed like the morning of that show.
Do you pay yearly or?
I pay monthly. It's like $9 a month. But I wouldn't have renewed it because I knew that the pay-per-view. Like,
exactly.
I ain't going to lie to you. Their app doesn't make any sense. So if there's a pay-per-view that's not on the app, I pause it or cancel it for a couple months and wait until there's a pay-per-view on the app because I don't want to pay for a month fortifying and watch pay-per-view.
I do the same thing with football.
Right.
Honestly.
Like, I ain't playing that game. So I was kind of mad because it snuck through on me and I was like, damn it. Got $9 out of me.
Yeah.
Whatever, though. It was a good pay-per-view. Not on the app. So if you want to watch it, you got to go find it on Trilla, Fight TV, whatever that app's called right now.
Have you ever paid for a UFC fight?
Yes, I have. All the time I pay for UFC
fights. They're like $60 a pop, too. Like... Oh, my God.
Now, I have a buddy who does. He'll usually order UFC fights.
So just go over to
come
house.
Over and we just all throw him like $10.
Yeah. Whatever. That's the way to
make
do
sense
it.
Sense of it, yeah.
Like when you're watching like with your friends and stuff. But, so what were the matches like?
So, we started out with they had three matches on the pre-show.
Okay.
Which is interesting because WWE usually it's one match. Pre-show, you got like they talk. You spend an hour talking about everything that's going to happen. And then they give you one match in the middle somewhere. Kind of get pissed off because you got to watch all this filler about stuff that you already know. I guess
like
I get it.
Like backstories and background stuff.
Right. I guess I get it. Like if, so you guys come over to my house to watch a pay-per-view, you don't know all the backstories.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So the pre-show is
good
for you.
They got to give you the storyline and stuff like that.
But for me, I already know.
Yeah.
I just want to see the match that you have on the pre-show. I don't want to watch all this other crap.
Exactly.
So
it kind of gives people time too to show up, you know, if someone's running late or something like that.
That's true. But they did three of them. So we had Rich Swann taking on Steve Maclin in one of the matches. Steve Maclin came out with the victory, and it's funny because people were surprised about it because Rich Swann's kind of like one of those guys that's a big fan favorite. Personally, guess what? Well, I don't like him.
That one coming.
Hear me out, though. My reason for not liking Rich Swann is my same reason for not liking The New Day. He's the same thing. He's that dancing, he's TNA's dancing WB Frog. He just comes out shucking and jiving and dances all the way to the ring. And then he gets beat up and dances all the way to the back. It's like, come on, man. Bruh. Why's it going to be like that? You're just going to be that black guy that just dances and gets beat up. You're dancing for the man. Come on, stop it.
Man.
I hate that.
This was last Thursday, you said?
This was Saturday.
Okay. Yeah.
So Rich Swann came out, lost to Maclin. I kind of expected that to happen.
Yeah.
Then the next match, they had Eric Young and Frankie Kazarian, They brought back a lot of originals and old guys. So this was two older guys taking on Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers.
Oh, nice.
The heels won that one. Myers and Eddie Edwards won. It was a pretty decent match there. But again, pre-show, you don't really get into the pre-show. You're kind of like half watching it.
Yeah. It's just background stuff at that.
Right. You're like, all right,
throw it on and just let it play.
Who won? I don't really care about that. Then we had the Digital Media Championship, the main event of the kickoff show. Kind of a funny thing that they do. It's always weird to me when you put a title on your kickoff show.
Yeah, like the first one is just the title immediately. Like,
right. I'm like, this isn't the real pay-per-view yet. You're going to give me a title match before? And that kind of take away from the meaning of your title?
I mean, I guess it's a cool way to open it, but they really should wait. Like, main events should be, you know, title matches and stuff like that, or closer to the main event.
Right,
you can't just kick it off. Title's on the line immediately. Like,
I guess in a way, it's kind of the end of the kickoff show. So it's the main event of their pre-show.
Yeah.
They throw like a lower
title.
True,
true.
It's the Digital Media Championship, which is kind of like their version of a television championship.
TV championship.
Yeah, digital media. So it's only defended online all the time.
Oh, okay. So, okay. That makes sense.
And that was Tommy Dreamer defending against Crazy Steve. And this match, funny. Like people expected Crazy Steve's not the guy. He's not going to beat Tommy Dreamer. And I felt Tommy Dreamer is like 89. Why does he have a title in 2024?
That is wild.
Like, seriously. Like, you remember Tommy Dreamer way back ECW?
Yes.
Yeah, he's still wrestling.
Love ECW.
Some of them just like, we got to start a geriatric league or something, because that's like out of control. Seriously,
like, don't you know? Like, at some point, just stop. We don't want to see that anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't even move like you used to move anymore. Yeah. You know, you're doing that.
You can tell when they get rusty and they just start jumping off the rope and they're just looking like, ah!
Right.
Like, you're going to croak.
The thing with Tommy Dreamer is he'll just take bumps. He's like, I don't care. Just beat me up, slam. That's what I've been doing my whole career. So there's that side of it where he makes out because of that. So
makes sense.
Good match. Crazy Steve takes the title. Some people were upset because they feel like Crazy Steve's not the man.
Yeah.
I like Decay. I love that whole group they had before as Decay that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think you had to move off of Tommy Dreamer and put it on somebody that says TNA. And that was the right move to That's do. True. Right thing to do, get it off him and put it
That's there. True, because they always have wrestlers coming in from WWE, freaking ECW, all these other branches like AEW. And
right, and that,
like, they don't have a TNA like representative, I guess, like themselves. Right. Like,
and Tommy Dreamer, yeah, he kind of represents TNA, but he's ECW. Let's be real. He's an ECW guy, WWE guy. He's not a TNA original. So when you're rebooting the brand, I feel like you take the title off of him. He was a good place marker to carry that title into the change and the brand change and have a familiar face as they're becoming TNA. Yeah. And then you take it off and put it on someone that's going to like move the brand forward. Whether he keeps that title for a while or not, I don't think it matters.
I love me some ECW back in the day, man.
ECW, I would love to see them bring back ECW. GCW.
Yeah, that was good too.
No, well, GCW is an indie right now that's very much like ECW. They're like the closest if you were to take anything that you watch today that's not mainstream.
So do like local shows or?
Yeah, I've been to a couple of them at, they used to do them at FET in Providence.
Oh, nice, nice.
But I guess they had an issue with ownership there and paying out things, and we all know how that goes.
He said, I don't like them. I do not like those.
So we get to the regular show. We get PCO versus Dirty Dango.
Ooh.
PCO, he's another guy. He needs to go away. He's another guy that's just way too old. His gimmick is like he's like Frankenstein's monster. Literally, they burnt the dude alive and he came back. Like, what? I'm like, how? Like, they electrocuted him and burnt him alive. He like exploded, caught fire and everything. And then the next show he's back and he's back from the dead. And PCO was Pierre Carl Ouellet in WWE. So if you remember way back when they had the Mounties. Remember the Mounties?
I don't think so.
So there was the Mountie, and then the Mountie brought in like another guy to be his partner, and then they had a tag team called the Mounties. And then they got rid of that team, and Pierre Carlolet became a pirate.
Was that like WCW era? Like,
no, it was like right at the beginning of the Attitude Era.
Oh, okay. Like,
very, very beginning of it, when they were just like throwing stuff around and doing weird shit.
Yeah.
And his gimmick ended up being a pirate for a while. And now he's Frankenstein.
Sometimes this man Vince just runs out of ideas.
Yeah. Right. Well, everybody does. I feel like no matter what.
Yeah, yeah, that's inevitable. But
because there's only so many ideas you can have, you got to stop retreading them. But I mean, this guy is just. I've been over him for the past 5 years, maybe more. So he won the match. He beat Dirty Dango. No one expected him to lose because he's Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, Frankenstein won.
Yeah. But it's like he's not good. Like, go watch a PCO match and then tell me afterwards in the chat. Be like, oh, I watched that. And you're going to be like, yep, I see what you're talking about. He's just like, he gets so ridiculous.
I feel like.
Yeah. So we had that match to open. Then we had a Knockouts Ultimate X match. So I don't know if you guys know Ultimate X is it's kind of like their version of Money in the Bank, but it was made for the X division. So basically, there's on each corner, there's a post that goes up into the air. From those posts are wires that go across to another post. And in the middle of that X is an X hanging on a clip.
So you got to grab it.
You got to get up there, climb across the
monkey bar. It.
Like. Yeah, monkey bar across the wire to get the X down. And then you can get a shot at whatever title that's for. This was for the women's title. It was interesting because sometimes I feel like they do these matches and like, oh, we want to give the woman the chance to shine, right?
Yeah.
But they don't take things into consideration that they should. Like, for example, women are smaller than men.
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
Yeah.
Like, you're mad at me for saying that? I don't have to tell you. It's just science and physics.
Exactly.
How it fucking is.
Exactly.
So, like, one of the spots, one of the girls is hanging from the thing, right?
Yeah.
And the spot is, one of the other women comes and grabs her and pulls her down and power bombs her.
Damn.
But she's not tall enough. So
she had to kind of, so like,
she had to, like, kind of, like, get underneath her, right?
Yeah.
And then the girl had to, like, look down and make sure she was, like, safe underneath her. And then she's, like, grabs her legs. As you can tell, she's supposed to, like, pull her, like, onto her. But she couldn't pull her because she couldn't really grab her.
So she had to drop.
Had to kind of, like, let go and drop down and make it look like she was still trying to hold on. It was just ugly.
That was my first thought when you mentioned, like, the wires, the monkey bars. Like, having to sit up there and, like, hold yourself.
Right, it takes a lot of shit.
It's physically taxing, yeah.
But I get it. Like, I'm not saying that these women aren't,
no, of course,
aren't physical specimens.
Yeah, of course. They're very strong.
Men,
you gotta be,
naturally have more upper body strength.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, not everybody, I know it.
Well, we talked about this before, like, you have to be able to actually sell it.
Right.
In order for it to still be entertaining to a certain degree. So, I get that. Like, I don't know, what do you think is going to be able to help them, like, start understanding that process better, or are we just going to be stuck in this space for a while where it just gets more fantastical as we go?
I think right now we're at that spot where people just want spot monkey stuff. They just want that more and more. Let's do more. Let's do more. Let's do more. But you're right. We have to hit a point where someone says, okay, this is too much. We got to go back.
Stop. Yeah.
There's going to be people calling it fake again.
Right. But you go back and you look, like, you watch, like, Rey Mysterio when he first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Owen Hart when he first came out. Jushin Thunder Liger. Those guys were doing some of this stuff and it was great then.
True.
Now it's watered down because everybody does it.
That's the problem. True. If you overdo it, you oversaturate the market.
And then you're setting up spots that aren't possible to be done.
Yeah.
Like, I hate the front, like, I can't stand. If you got spots, whatever, make it happen, but make it look, make me believe it. I don't want to look at it and be like, oh, look, she jumped into her arm. She jumped onto her shoulders to power. She was right next to the X. She could have reached and grabbed the X, but instead, she let go.
She had to go on. Yeah, right.
Right. And you can see she's like, she's like stretching herself to try to kill him. Like, come on, grab my leg.
Yo, this reminds me of this meme that I saw. And it was Rey Mysterio looking up at the Great Khali, Mark Henry, and Big Show. And then the caption was, I stopped watching wrestling when Rey Mysterio won this match.
Right. Right, man, we've been talking about that last week.
I was crying.
That's when I stopped.
He said, that's dead ass when I stopped.
Dead ass. Like, what is going on? That's literally when I was like, all right, too much cap for me, guys. Time for me to pack it up. I became the SpongeBob.
Yeah. At some point, you've got to be able to, like, sell it more and, like, make it more believable.
Make me believe. Yeah. Right? You can only get me to, you can only go so far.
But TNA is, like, they do a good job at, for the most part.
So
they're like the old ECW, you know. What I mean?
Giselle Shaw won the match. I kind of wanted Tasha Steelz to win. She's like that. She's the Puerto Rican representative on that show. So, like, she's kind of like that.
Hits close to home.
Yeah, yeah. But Giselle Shaw ended up winning the match, and it's funny. People were like, Giselle Shaw, and I'm like, yeah. She fucks the booker. Of course she won the match. You're surprised that the woman who's sleeping with the hooker won the match to get a shot at the world title. Really?
Oh, man.
Like, obviously, she was locked in at the beginning of...
Clearly.
Right. And she's also put in a spot, one, for that, but two, because, and some people don't know this, but Giselle Shaw is a trans.
Oh.
So, and it's funny, because nobody knew it. This woman came out of nowhere, made it big into wrestling, and everyone's... It's funny.
That's dope.
Because... But it's funny because you know how dudes are, right? So, look at this girl. And there's, like, a lot of dudes that are into wrestling that like those muscular women, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, she's dope. She's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the hottest thing.
Squats.
And then you find out, oh, she was a dude. Wait, what?
That's why everything goes out the window for these
motherfuckers. Right, I don't know. Does it? We need a new day. You know what I'm saying? They're like, true. Wait, what? And then the next one is, wait, what? It's all about how that wait, what comes out, brother.
She's sleeping with the booker. I'm saying, she's sleeping with the booker. And he's like, it's not like he hides it, so.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
True. This is, like, a touchy subject because, like, everyone always gets mad when it's like, oh, these trans women are in a male-dominated, not like
trans woman going into a sport and taking woman's spot.
Exactly.
And I get that. And so wrestling's a little different.
Yeah, wrestling's different.
That's what I'm saying. It's all about the act, and it's not like definitely a physical.
It's not way different, but it's different enough where like you can set those parameters up where you can protect the I don't even know how to call it. But when it's like MMA, it's a little dicey. Right. There's no limit. I might crack.
That's what I'm saying. It's a touchy subject, man.
Like, I'm a girl now, but no, you're not. You just beat that girl up. That's, we could get into a whole thing about that.
Yeah.
So there's a trans wrestler in AEW that I can't stand her, Nyla Rose. But here's the thing. To me, part of it's like how you present and who you are, right? Because I feel like a lot of that, and whatever, I don't care. We're gonna get into
it. How's the persona? How's the personality?
No, not even that. Just you in general. So I'm gonna take this. We're gonna like sidebar here. Okay, I'm gonna go down this.
So you're saying like how you like present yourself. Like,
so Nyla Rose is a trans who is married to a woman and still has a penis and presents herself as a woman. Nah, dude, you're a dude. I don't care.
I mean, I feel like you're allowed to identify however the fuck you want to identify.
We could get into a whole deep conversation. See, I don't think that you can just do that. I can't pick my own.
I feel like you can do what you want. I just don't have to subscribe personally.
Right. I got into
happy with you doing what you want.
Yeah.
Because that's the freedom of like what we live in, right? Like, but I don't have to subscribe as like general society or me and my family dynamic to absolutely adopt. I can respect who you are.
Yeah.
You
come right. to my no, house, for
you
sure.
My space when you're around, I can respect that. But then I also have the right to go back to my reality.
Yeah, that's right. True.
And I feel like you should have to respect that other person's reality, right?
Exactly.
So whatever you want to do in your own privacy, in your own home, whether you want to be, that's fine. But don't tell me that I have to acknowledge you as this when that just doesn't make sense to me.
I got into a whole argument about this with someone the other day because he said some really disrespectful things about trans people openly on Facebook.
That's different when you're being just disrespectful.
And he was like, I don't like when people push their ideals on me and stuff like that. Like, I'm allowed to feel this way. I still respect trans people. And I'm like, I get it, dude. But what you said was rude as hell. Like, you can't just be saying that. It's hurtful. It's harmful.
But sometimes that happens because people are feeling like you're forcing your belief on me.
Yeah.
And part of this whole thing is part of the whole conversation is, hey, you got to accept me. But if you want me to accept you, you got to accept me too.
Yeah, I get it.
That's my thing. So like, I feel like those conversations are not, they shouldn't be relegated to the internet because that's where it gets messy.
Exactly.
You're not having a one-on-one transaction where you can get to know each other. You're having what you perceive to be a one-on-one, but now you got the whole peanut gallery in there watching this divulge. And now you have that pressure of like, not wanting to be wrong because you know there's eyes watching this conversation go down.
Yeah.
This dialogue is not, and it's an organic state.
Rather than one-on-one
what
talking.
What we've seen is that when people go into space and actually talk to each other about this topic, like human to human, we understand that it's all just about respecting your bubble and mine.
Yep, yeah. Right.
But on the internet, all bubbles converge.
Yeah, my girl says this all the time. It's hard to tell someone's tone through text.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
My God.
You could like, this person could be completely chill, be like just chilling with you, and then you think they're being rude or like they're...
I'm very robotic in my typing.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've been accused of that many times when it's like...
It's like, nah.
Maybe I'm just a little wacky because I just think I'm just talking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, there's no tone to like... Because the thing with me is like, sometimes you can't mask those feelings too for other people because other people are just emotional sometimes. You know what
I'm saying? Seriously.
Like some people take it, even if I say it in the best tone I possibly could say it in, they still just weak, bro. Like sometimes I think I'm like, all right, cool. I understand what box you're in. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for like a mom or a sister or when I'm dealing with my friends, especially my male friends, I'm not saying
that we can't
confide each other and can't lean on each other, but we also should be able to challenge each other.
Right,
say, all right, bro, that's enough. You cried to me about this a month. Yeah. Now it's time to let the other nut drop and let's get back to work.
Yes.
My homegirl posted me on Snap, a funny ass video of me on Snap. And then someone swipes up. He's like, oh, is that Nick? And I was like, oh, yeah, my boy John. Like, oh, like, tell him I said what up. And he was like, I don't even know him like that. Like, what do you mean? Like,
since we're on this topic real quick, because we did have another one that came up earlier I sent to you, I want to know your feelings on that. Since we're in the realm of the female wrestling side. So I sent you a thing earlier where it was talking about, was it Jacqueline coming back?
Was it Jacqueline?
It was in the group message. Let me see if I can find it. I think they took that post down.
Something you shared and now it's gone?
Yeah, they definitely took it down.
I hate
that.
Maybe hating.
Oh, no, here it is. So Jacqueline Moore was talking about coming back even in her 60s. And we were just talking about this earlier, about like
all
the wrestlers all popping back up and trying to get back.
Like if The Rock could come back, like why can't I? If Vince can come back, why can't I come back?
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing.
She said, I would hope I could return to WWE with Vince McMahon, Triple H, or somebody. Y'all can call me. I still have a little left in the tank. I still have a little left for the game. So if you can return Trish status.
Oh, yeah, Trish Stratus, yeah.
Can return, and John Cena can return. Jacqueline can return, too, you know? That's what I'm talking about.
I actually had to do my research on her.
So my thing with that is it's going to fall down that same path that we were talking about last week, where people are going to be, oh, yeah, you got to bring it back. You know why? She's a black woman. So black people are going to be like, oh, yeah, of course, you got to bring it. They're not going to bring it back because she's black. No. Listen. I am not going to pay to go see Jacqueline wrestle. Yeah, Trish Stratus shows up. I want to see her. The Rock shows up. I want to see him. John Cena shows up. I want to see him. Jacqueline? I'll pass on that.
But don't you think that like some of that is like a derivative of it being such a male-dominated sport, especially in her era? You don't think that there's possibly, if she has, because especially you might meet some veteran female wrestlers from the era, if she can still sell like she could.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
You might need some of them around to get the Jade Cargills and all of that up to speed and yada, yada, yada.
That's the reason they even brought that
Trish. I just see like some like veteran, you know how football teams are, we keep a couple of veterans on the team to train the culture. And still keep them with a profile? You don't think that we can find a good blend there?
Maybe, but here's the thing. I find that a lot of wrestlers, like, in order to be a wrestler, you got to have ego. So you got to bring someone in that has this ego and be like, all right, we're going to bring you in and you're going to lose every week. Mm. And, whoa, you brought me back to lose? Mm. And again, now that's going to go down that whole IWC. The internet wrestling community is insane. Because they just bitch and complain about everything.
Yeah.
And black wrestling Twitter? You didn't even know. I'm going to introduce you to black wrestling Twitter. I know you know about black Twitter, but black wrestling Twitter.
I can only imagine. It's a whole regular novel. Black Twitter is wild.
So they got black wrestling court.
Wrestling attached to anything is going to be wilder than
normal. It's nuts. But so, like, I feel like Jacqueline coming back, I get you.
Yeah,
she would have come back to push some talent, to maybe be a trainer in the back and wrestle a little bit. Yeah, but I feel like she's not going to come back for that. Just what she's saying right there is like, hey, bring me back and put me in the main. I want to be in the main event. I want to be a top star.
Gotcha. She did compare herself to like the top of the
top. John Cena, The Rock.
But I guess it's like, those are the names that you've been hearing matriculate. You haven't really been hearing any mid. I haven't been hearing any mid-tiers, and I've been doing a little homework since we've been getting back.
Yeah, they bring some of them back here and there. They pop in here and there. Like, they just brought Jinder Mahal back. They brought, like, we saw CM Punk come back. We saw.
Yeah, true.
TNA, there was a bunch of old people that just came back over there on that show.
Yeah, they're so, like popping around every week, right?
Yeah, I mean, if she could come back and play a role and fill a role in the roster, I get that. But if she's expecting to come back and be put in the main eventer
and getting the title and yeah.
We don't need that. We got enough of that crap. There's no need for it. You know, just sit on the side or come and do something else. There's tons of other things to do in wrestling. Like, you look at NFL. You get too old, hey, come coach.
Yeah.
Yep.
Build yourself up and do that. Maybe you can become a manager. See, Jacqueline, I don't think she has that charisma. She's like, she's very Southern. I know y'all watch that Cat Williams thing, right? But like, when I think of her, I think of Steve Harvey. You know what I mean? Like, she's not like super, and no hate on Steve Harvey. I love Steve Harvey, but the way that Kat explained him, you know, he's not that educated. He's like, he's kind of like, oh, ha, 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 listen to Steve. I feel like Jacqueline's the same thing. She's not going to come out. She's not good on the microphone. She's not well spoken. So where are you bringing her in today? What are you bringing her in to do? Unless she's putting over good talent, top talent, building new stars, there's no need for her. But if she wants to come and help build talent, put over some talent.
Yeah. Then in like a manager position or something.
Or even if she wants to get in the ring, but no, hey, you're not going to win every match. Yeah. Don't expect to be going for the world title. And if you are going for the world title, expect that you're going to lose and you're going to make that the champ look good. Your job is to go out there and make that champ look believable, like, wow, she just beat Jacqueline.
Yeah, exactly. It's still good that the veteran is even in the ring.
Picture, yeah. Yeah.
Right. If that's what you want, I'm all for it, Jackie. Come back. But other than that, nah, stay home.
There's
stay
been a Texas. Lot of legends coming back.
Right, and that's the thing. Everybody wants to come back now. It's nuts. So I want to run through this so we can get into all the other stuff we got to talk about. After the Ultimate X, we had the TNA World Tag Team Championship match.
Ooh.
ABC, which is the American Bullet Club. We've talked about how Bullet Club has gone like way too far. So like there's a version of Bullet Club on like every brand. So we got Chris Bay and Ace Austin. They're Bullet Club, the American version. So they're the ABC.
Different strains of Bullet Club.
Right, it's nuts. So they're the tag champs. They defended against the Rascals, Grizzled Young Veterans, who were in NXT, recently got released, made their debut after their 90-day non-compete. And
nice.
Mike Bailey was supposed to team with Trent Seven, but he had travel issues because of all the weather going on.
Mm-hmm.
I said because he's fat and they're trying to overcharge him. They were like, Trent Seven? You're like, Trent Nine.
This man is wild.
So anyway, Trent Seven didn't make it. So Laredo Kid ended up in his place there in that match. For the record, they were calling this team. It was Speedball Mike Bailey and Trent Seven, and they were calling them Speedball Mountain, which I was just like,
wow.
I don't know who in the back doesn't realize that you just called them a mountain of cocaine.
Correct. Yes.
Speedball Mountain.
Speedball like, Mountain is crazy.
Like, someone had missed what that actually meant.
Well, remember, we're from the generation that knows that. There's a younger generation that's just like, Speedball Mountain, now here shooting veins and shit. So they take it a whole different way. You know what I mean? They didn't remix it again.
Right. And just the fact that his name's Speedball Mike Bailey gets me. I'm like, you thought that was a good idea? Like, no one came to him. Like, dude.
Like, you guys be getting fired for that. So.
Yo, you need to get that good. Go see Mike Bailey, Speedball. He got you. American Bullet Club won. They've been the champs for a while, and they just kind of run up with them. Chris Bay's nice. Chris Bay, another one of the young black wrestlers on the rise, doing his thing, and he's found his niche here in TNA.
Yeah, I'm gonna tap in with him and watch more matches.
Yeah, he's dope. He did his thing on the independent circuit. He got over there, and went, now that he's with the Bullet Club, he kind of like I said, he found his spot there, and he's really been doing his thing there. So good tag team match. It's always good when you get multi-man tag matches because they get wild.
Yeah.
Like, action everywhere.
It's like three-way tags and stuff like that.
Yeah, and this was what? Four teams in this one, so that was nuts.
Yeah, that's ADHD heaven right there.
Right,
back.
Yeah.
I would not be able to pay attention to that shit.
He said ADHD. That's why I loved it. From there, we had the X Division Championship match. Chris Sabin in a triple threat against Kushida and El Hijo de Vikingo. It's the son of the Viking. Those Mexican wrestlers, I don't know, they get some weird gimmicks. They have these gimmicks where it's like, my dad was this, I'm son of my dad.
I mean, isn't that like the Libre culture?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's the ancestral wrestler culture. I mean, look at the mask, bro.
Right,
that's
right.
We got
like
the custody of Dominic match. Remember that? The ladder match.
That was great. That was great.
Like, what was that, dude?
The things they did in the Attitude Era. Stuff that you couldn't get away with now.
On God.
But this match was great. Chris Sabin kept the title.
Nice.
I don't like Chris Sabin.
Of course.
I don't know what it is about him.
I'm going to keep a tally book.
Right, of what I like. I don't know if it's his look. But there's just like little things turn me off completely. It's like that little thing. I'm like, nope, I don't like it.
That's it.
He's from Michigan. And people from Michigan do this weird ass thing where like you point on your hand where you live. And like, it's how he gets popped. Like so he shows up and he's like, he gets up on the ropes and he's like, and people cheer. I'm like, no, I don't care where you live, dude. I get it. Michigan looks like a mitten. You can point on it, and that's where you are on the map.
They got a good college football team.
Hey, man, I know some good people in Michigan. Shout out to my people's eye, right, man. I don't know what he's talking about, yo. He's slaughtering y'all right now.
I'm just saying, I hope y'all people aren't out there doing this every time they get on stage for something. Like,
I mean, he can be pretty charismatic, but that is goofy. That is some goofy shit.
That's what I like about him. Yeah. And that's his big, because they're from Michigan, the Motor City Machine.
I mean, Hold on, timeout.
He said, "Skirt."
Turn this mic back.
Hold on.
How is that any less goofy than? just holler at me. I'm just asking.
I'm not a big John Cena fan either. Say his name.
You're right though.
I'm just saying.
It was such a good gimmick.
Well, that's funny. Like you do so much with it. Can't see.
At least this connected to something. Like where the hell did he get?
Can't see me.
The gimmick turned him into an invisible man meme.
Right. You got tons of memes of that. You don't get memes of this.
Sure.
His prom picture, they were like, oh, poor thing went to prom alone.
Now watch, he's gonna make...
I can give y'all mad memes for that.
He's gonna make memes out of that. Like, he's gonna be like, my house.
The bills. My life. This shit ain't right. The white side.
Me at urgent care. Where does it hurt? Right here.
Oh,
man. Chris Saban is going to become a meme now because of us. It's going to be hilarious. But so he won the title. He kept the title. I thought they were going to have a build from him as the X Division champ to facing Alex Shelley, his tag team partner, who they gave the world championship to. But we'll get into that later. They didn't build to that.
Oh, man.
I thought that's where they were going. Good match, though. X Division matches are always great. High flyers. That El Hijo del Vikingo, if you haven't seen him wrestle, watch that dude wrestle. That dude's nice.
Wait, is he a Mexican wrestler, too?
Yeah, he's a Mexican wrestler. And he's like
it sounds very, very familiar.
He's an up-and-coming guy. Like I said, his dad was El Vikingo, so he's son of El Vikingo.
Nice.
But dude can go. He's been like their guy, the big Mexican guy. And every year, there's a guy that people catch on to him, and then he gets booked everywhere. That's El Hijo del Vikingo. Then we got Josh Alexander versus Alex Hammerstone. This match, amazing. You don't know Alex Hammerstone? He was in MLW. He's a name that you're going to see pop up somewhere. He's either going to end up in AEW or WWE sometime in the next couple years. He kind of his contract with MLW just ran out. So he's popping up here and there now, showing up in places, getting seen. Big Jack, blonde dude. Guy can go. Really good wrestler. Put on a great match with the walking weapon, Josh Alexander. Josh Alexander, he's a guy, if you like old school wrestling, Josh Alexander's your guy. Because that's his thing. He wrestles. He comes out there. He wears like the college headgear. I'm like that. Like that type of wrestler.
I was going to say, what is his style like?
He's like, take those mat wrestlers, like your Bret Harts, your Chris Benoit's.
Yeah.
Or like that's Josh Alexander. He's that technical wrestler that.
Nice.
He uses the ankle lock as his finisher.
Yeah, yeah.
His submission hold. So, another great match. Josh Alexander won. But sometimes when you have a match like this on a pay per view, I feel like I get the build for it because it's two big names, but you know who's going to win.
Yeah, yeah.
You know the guy that's signed to the company is going to win. It's like Josh Alexander's been the face of this company for years. He's like their guy because he's like the pure wrestler.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose to a guy that's coming in that doesn't have a contract.
Yeah, it makes no sense to compromise your guy.
It can be very obviously like set up sometimes. Like you can already tell type shit.
But it was a good match. It's definitely a match worth watching. It's not like, oh, this is crap because you knew who was going to win. Because even though you knew who was going to win, you knew it was going to be a good match. Just two guys that can put on a good wrestling match. If you just want to watch a good match,
hell yeah, it's
definitely something to watch. Then we had the double main event. We had the Knockouts Championship on the line. Trinity defended against Jordynne Grace. Another match that... was kind of, you knew who was going to win. Rumor and innuendo on the street is Trinity is about to go back to the WWE.
Interesting.
Do you know who Trinity is?
Yes, interesting.
Formerly known as Naomi, yes, if you don't know who she is. Mm. She's married to one of the Usos.
Yes, we just talked about that. Yeah,
right, so she had that walkout. Her and Sasha Banks walked out together over some stuff that they didn't like. They didn't like where their characters were going. So they were the tag team champions together. And they... We're going to have them, like, wrestle each other and to, like, go for the women's championship. Yeah, and they're like, well, we're girls.
Yeah.
And we're friends. And we're champions together. Why would we be fighting each other? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And they left. So now she's like...
It's not like it's like a sibling thing, like the Hardys, you know what I mean?
Right. But they were like, you know what? you don't do this with other females. You do it with the two black girls.
I mean, did it make sense? Yeah, it didn't make sense. We talked about it before. It didn't really make sense. Yeah. It was like, what was your angle there? It was literally what you just said. Like,
right.
Just throw the two black girls at each other. Like, what the hell?
Like, but they're on the same
team. Y'all know you ain't right for that.
I know. Black on black crime.
Yeah, correct.
Right.
Correct.
That's how they felt.
Right. Like, you mean Malcolm and Martin? All right, here we go. Like, what the hell? Right before black kids, you know what I'm doing this shit.
But yo, that's what
they
y'all
do. Y'all better stop playing, all right?
Man, oh, right? Man.
Y'all better stop playing.
But that's why they left. So they both left. Trinity ended up going to... Naomi became Trinity, signed with Impact, had a nice little run as the women's champion. She dropped it at this show. And again, it was one of those things where you kind of knew Bayley and Sasha Banks were in the crowd. They showed them like sitting up in the box, like watching. They're there for their homegirl because they're really good friends in real life. So they were all there, and then Jordynne Grace is another one. She's jacked. I don't know if you know who she is. Look up Jordynne Grace. This woman is jacked. They call her nickname, she's a big mama pump, you know.
Big mama.
You know, Scott Steiner was big papa pump.
Big papa.
She's big mama pump.
Now, does she got the little lump on the lump though?
Oh, she's like, yeah, she's jacked.
She got to register those guns.
No, he really had the freaking Popeye muscle. Like,
she does bodybuilding competition. So she'll get small, but then, like, you know how bodybuilders are. They get small when they're not competing. And
yeah.
Up. She gets jacked.
Bodybuilders scare me, man. I'm just going to say that right now.
Now, you're going to see her and be like, oh, yeah.
What's her name? What is it again?
Jordynne Grace. Jordynne. Grace.
Like, there's no reason your arm should be the size of my waist.
Right. Like, and God, she's like not a tall girl. She's a short girl. She's just jacked. And then
you gotta watch out, Nick, because then she might say something like, there's no reason your waist should be the size of my smoke.
Hey man, my social media links are in there. You can reach out to me. we can hit the gym right, together, right. Girl. I'm cool with that.
She's married to another black wrestler.
Hey, can we start talking about her? Because I feel like she might be able to take a mofo in a dark alley. God,
oh yeah, she'll beat us up.
I don't want no smoke.
Jordynne Grace show up here. We start talking. Like, I like Jordynne Grace. I know who to not say that I don't like. Jordynne Grace will beat me up.
She got Debo.
And our man's black, so you know how that goes, too. I'm like, nah, I'm messing with Jordynne Grace.
You said, I got to make sure it's safe to say first.
She's got an interesting coffee.
So what you're saying is them hands got rhythm. Oh, no.
Right, I'm saying. But she's got an interesting coffee table book. If you ever want to read an interesting wrestling book, she's got a book called, I forget the exact title of it, but it's something like DMs of a Female Wrestler. And she, like, legit, it's about people sliding in her DMs. She just, like, literally takes DMs of people.
we gotta add that to the show. We can add a little segment. You know,
honestly,
DMs of a female wrestler. I'm telling you.
We gotta do that.
You know, people be saying shit to her.
Yeah.
On both ends of the spectrum, too.
Actually, I gotta ask her because I was wondering, like, you know, I know, you know, AG was here and everything. And I'm like, hey, man, I see, you know, she's always in the gym. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, you're wrestling, yo. I can see you doing your thing out there. You know what I mean? She's two pieces of earth, though. She's like, nah, I'm not with
you. Yeah,
I look Debo, but I want to give you a hug.
She used to be an announcer, too.
Y'all know we talk about our teammate, Natalia Super. Shout out to Natalia. Go check
out Natalia
on YouTube and everything, man. She's doing great work, man. But again, she brought out AG. We'll be getting back to that. But yeah, man, like, just thinking about that, when you're talking about the ladies, I was like, yo, she be getting Debo in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She put out a loop, and I was like, oh, okay. Your back is looking big, son.
Right.
She fit.
If Jordynne Grace comes, I might have her be here to protect me. That's my bodyguard.
Good idea.
So anyway, so we get through that match. Jordynne Grace, new women's champion. Congratulations. She's going to carry that women's division into the future there.
For sure.
I'm looking forward to her against, what's your name? Shaw. The women's title. Giselle Shaw, the one that Ultimate X. So eventually those two are going to fight. So, and it's funny, if you got a girl that's a dude, she's going to fight someone. Jordynne Grace is the one because she ain't going to care.
She said Jordynne Grace is in the place.
She's like, I don't care if you're a dude or a girl, I'll beat you both up.
Pull up. That's what I mean. Wrestling is different, man. When you get the stereo Cheerios, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm saying.
So then from there, we go to the main event. Alex Shelley defends his title against the Moose. And Moose comes out the new champion. I think that surprised a lot of people because they were kind of running with Alex Shelley. Like I said, I think people thought we were going to get to Alex Shelley versus Chris Sabin, X Division champ, yeah, yeah. World champion, tag team, form like tag team partners against each other.
But that would have been cool.
It would have. But I'm glad they switched. I like Moose. See, again, a lot of people I hate, I like Moose. That's my dude. He's been my Facebook friend for years. Moose.
What title was it again?
Oijinaka. I can never say his name right.
We found one you can't get out?
Yeah.
Oh, look, now you're going to
look black dude. What's Moose's last name? Moose? Oijinaka.
He's like, I can't like him and not know the name.
Moose. His name's Quinn Oijinaka. Oijinaka. Oijinaka.
Japanese, right?
No, he's black dude.
Shit.
Yeah, he
played. Oh, sounds like an African last name, probably.
I would ruin that, ladies and gentlemen. I would have got a hate charge for messing up people's names. I don't know why I got this British ass Peter Walker, but man.
Yo, that status you posted the other day.
You said, yo, but Moose is looking jack lately. He went from this like kind of flabby. Guy that came out, he played football. He was an NFL player, right? When he first came into wrestling, he was a heel. And his brag was, I used to block for Tom Brady. But he used to
be. That's a brag, bro. That's a good brag. That's the GOAT.
He used to be fat, but I'm going to show you Moose now.
Oh, goddamn.
Right. That's Moose now.
That was crazy.
Dude, he's jacked.
Yeah, he's
chest
jacked.
Got a chest, bro.
His chest had a chest.
He got a 12-pack.
Yeah. He's the new face of TNA, so props to Moose. Big shout-out. Love to see you get your run, get that title back. He's been that guy that's been kind of there all the time. Throwing the title on him, lost the title. People have wondered, is he going to go somewhere else? And he keeps re-signing with TNA. He's loyal to that company. That's who brought him in. That's who's built him. And it's great to see them reward him by putting the title on him and saying, hey, now we're under a new banner. We're ready to go. You're the guy, Moose.
Yeah.
And he's got like a whole little crew with him now. And I guess they brought, I kind of caught the end of it when he had interference to help him win. And they put him with D'Angelo Williams.
Ooh.
You know D'Angelo Williams, like the football player.
Correct, D'Angelo. Yeah, yep.
Now we're getting some names that I'm
TNA.
Waiting
for.
I said, wait a minute.
He's in TNA, and he's Moose's crew. Which makes sense. You know, he's a football player that played line, brought his football player buddy to come and get his back.
Yeah, got to run some plays out here.
Right. So I'm interested to see where they go with this, to see where TNA comes. A lot of good stuff came out of this show.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff to talk about. Some new people showed up. Dana Brooke, who used to be in WWE.
Okay.
She showed up there. There were a few other names that kind of just... Because again, they're trying to rebuild their whole brand, and Dolph Ziggler showed up.
We just talked about him
showing up in Japan.
He just popped back up over here.
He showed up over here, and he's gonna be going at it with Moose. Apparently, that's what it looks like. He came out to at the end of his match and kind of approached him about everything. So I'm like, all right, so we're gonna get to Moose versus Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler doing everything, I don't want to say too much, but doing everything. Yeah, like he's all over the place.
For sure.
So it sounds like it started off a little like, not stale, but like just dragged on, boring a little bit.
It's kind of like how all pay-per-views go. You know what I mean? The beginning of it, you just got to kind of build momentum. I missed this too. So DJ Who Kid was there. DJ Who Kid was there.
Who Kid was in the building.
And he brought out AJ Francis, who recently was in WWE as Top Dollar.
Who Kid's a big wrestling fan.
Apparently.
No, he is. I've watched like his pod and stuff. He's a big wrestling fan. It's crazy.
Well, he was there and he came out with Top Dollar and they got into a fight with a dude and did all that. So, like I said, all this people showing up, it's TNA back, so try to
Who Kid was wrestling?
No, Who Kid?
Oh, I thought you said he came out the DJ booth and hit somebody with the vinyl, son.
He came out and introduced AJ. Okay, he did hit somebody with the vinyl.
I knew it. It's wrestling. He did.
And then AJ Francis took him out after Who Kid hit him. And
my goodness.
I was like, damn, DJ Who Kid coming out here. He's like,
this is amazing.
Kid.
Yo.
Right. It's the funny part about TNA when you look at where they're going with it.
Yeah.
They're kind of looking at wrestling and saying, yo, let's go for that black dynamic.
Yeah. We talked about that. When we talked about that,
and
too.
And there's not a lot of people going there.
Correct.
They were like, all right, let's do it. We're going to go for that. So good for them.
It's not cheesy.
Right.
We can make it happen.
But good pay-per-view. Definitely check it out. It's on Fight TV, Triller, or you can probably find it somewhere. Nice. Not that I said that. But let's get into the other things. We've got a couple other things to talk about before we get out of here today. What was the next thing I
had? Oh, wait, no. Hulkamania is next week, right?
Hulkamania is next week. Next week is the birth of Hulkamania. We're going to celebrate that. It's going to be a whole episode talking about that. And it's also a Rumble preview. I want to talk briefly about the Royal Rumble. Because we're going to be covering the Rumble next week. Yep. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like out of pay-per-views that people like get hyped for and people want to watch, the Royal Rumble is one of them.
Definitely.
Because it's like, you don't have to know all the storylines. There's a couple big matches, and then there's a 30-man Rumble. And now they got two. There's a man and a woman's 30-man Rumble.
Oh,
so
wow.
So you know, like people come to see, all right, who's going to come back? Because they don't got 30 women. They don't got 30 women. So who are we going to bring? We're going to bring back somebody. Yeah. Who's going to come back that I haven't seen since 1997?
Trish Stratus, man. Trish Stratus.
Right. You know Trish is going to make a show up there.
R.I.P. China, because I know she would have been there.
Right. You know she would have been there.
China. She would have been there.
Right.
China was a dog.
She was.
You know what I mean?
She was one of my favorite women wrestlers.
China was a dog.
But definitely. You know you're going to see some, like, there's going to be a couple people from that attitude era, from our era of watching wrestling, that's going to show up to be in the Rumble.
Correct.
I can think back to Doink the Clown showing up, Iron Sheik.
Oh, man, you just, oh, I can't believe I forgot about Doink. That was one of my favorites, bro. Doink was one of my favorites, bro. That gimmick was everything.
It was dope.
Oh, I'm going to pull him up. I got to pull him.
People hate comedy wrestling, and I'm not the biggest comedy wrestling fan, but if in its spot, it's good.
Doink has its place.
But that's Doink was in the right window for it. After him, it got really overplayed. Like you said, once you oversaturate, if you don't
I agree.
You know, you can do the same gimmick, but you have to space them out, yada yada yada. Like we talked about the whole NWO thing, and you know what I'm saying? Like you have to space it out.
True.
Doink wouldn't have been good if Doink was fighting Bret Hart for the world championship.
Yeah, correct. That is true.
Messing around with Crush in the mid-card was great. It was funny. It gave you some comedy. It lightened up the show in the middle of it. And you didn't have... He wasn't like the main feature of the show.
Yeah, true.
So I think that's where people go wrong nowadays. They want to make these comedy gimmicks the main star of the show.
Yeah, you can't do that.
But the Rumble's going
to
be good.
They have to be a side quest. You're right. Like, they got to be like a side mission.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And then maybe like every like few years they haphazardly win a belt and then they go back to the side show. Like, they have to be ethereal. You know what I mean?
When they win a title, it's in a match against someone that they definitely shouldn't win.
Correct.
They get like a cheap roll up or something. Really, and the guy's like, oh my God.
Correct. Like some real like, what? Piss everybody off with the cheesiest way to win.
And then
like
the next Monday night, I'll probably lose the title.
Correct.
Right away.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. That's what you do with a comedy gimmick, Kyle. So I don't hate him. They just have to be done right. And a lot of times they don't do them right.
Yeah, correct.
Write that down.
He doesn't hate them. Keep that in mind.
Rumored innuendo is that MJF is going to show up and win the Rumble. I don't know about that. We'll cover that more next week.
Yeah.
We'll get in deep into the Rumble because next week's just going to be Hulk Hogan and the Rumble.
Yeah.
That's all we're talking
correct
about
me if
week.
I'm wrong, but Rock's going to be there? Or?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, since he popped up, well, that's what we've been debating. At what point is he going to pop back up? What is the angle? What is the long game angle?
Because when is he going to start? Like, he's on Raw, right? Is that what he's doing? Or?
I think so. I don't know.
I think he was on Raw.
He was on Raw, but if they're gonna feud him with Roman, he's got to go to SmackDown.
Yeah,
Roman.
That's true, yeah.
So
That would be a good feud.
They're smart when they do that stuff because you play it for the network, right? Because the network wants to get, you know, both channels want The Rock on their channel. So you got to mix up a little bit.
Who doesn't want that, yeah.
So, he could go on both, I feel like.
It's too much upside.
Right, fact.
All upside.
Yeah.
But we're going to dive deep into the Rumble. I'm just saying, the Rumble is one of my favorite events because it's one of those things that you can get people together that don't watch wrestling all the time.
And still enjoy the show.
Because they're not like, oh, wait, what's going on? What's this about? Because half of the Rumble, most 90% of the Rumble, it doesn't matter. There's no story in it. Once in a while, you get two guys that meet up, and you can tell when the story's in the ring.
Yeah.
Everyone else like kind of falls down.
Correct.
Yeah, see, that's a little feud. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, all right, that's the story right now. But other than that,
it's going to be interesting to see.
Right. Other than that, it's just pure entertainment. It's great for people to watch. And I feel like this is the show that brings people to watch wrestling if you have it for a while. And it gears you up because that's the beginning of the road to WrestleMania.
Yes.
So from there, you know, it's just on the way to WrestleMania. So you get back into it then, you kind of stay into it, at least until Mania.
Yep.
Because you want to see what's building from it. Rumble was cool. What's going to happen for Mania? Because Mania, huge spectacle.
Yep.
So now it's 2 days long.
Yeah, exactly. Now that you mentioned that, it's like they kind of bring back old X throughout these next few months.
Right. This is that time period where all the guys come back and they want to bring back the nostalgia. And part of it is because WrestleMania. They want to get everybody to go to WrestleMania. Exactly. They know some people want to come for that nostalgia.
Not everyone watches wrestling and knows all the wrestlers, but you know the big guys. Like,
right. You know the guys superstars that you've been watching watched 10 years ago. Exactly. And you're like, oh, cool. He's back. I want to see him. Yeah. So that's kind of dope. Looking forward to that. Now, we got two other things we want to talk about before we get out of here. We're going to try to make this show not go 2 hours anymore. We're going to keep this like into a condensed time.
People's attention span is getting lower and lower.
I don't know. We get into it. We can keep you.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Hey, I tell people all the time, man, that's just more clips for me to chop up. So it all gets used. It all gets
I feel like this is just going to end up becoming a segment.
That's true.
Always something. So let's talk about our resident cokehead, Tony Khan. The shit that he pulled this week. So
resident cokehead is crazy.
Tony Khan is still all over the place. All this stuff going to... I think we talked about it a little bit last week with Jinder Mahal and how he came out.
His tweets and everything.
And he hasn't stopped.
No.
He's been going on and on. He's like, oh, you gave Jinder Mahal a title shot. And then meanwhile, we got Hook over here, 28-1, and no one's paying attention to it. Tony, I want you to pay attention. Yeah, Hook is 28-1. Go on Cage Match. And look at his matches. The dude hasn't beat anybody. That's why no one's excited for him going for the world title. Who did he beat that's a world title contender? Mm-hmm. You're 28-1, but you beat a bunch of scrubs. Mm. It don't mean nothing. It's like no one's like, this guy deserves a title shot. He hasn't beat any of your top stars. He might have beaten one. He beat Wheeler Yuta. And a lot of us have no use for Wheeler Yuta, so it doesn't really matter.
He's like if the Cowboys were a wrestler.
Right.
You only beat bums.
When you play somebody, no one cares. And I get it. It's not, he doesn't lose, but you don't put him against top contenders.
Yeah.
So now you're going to put him in his first match, big match, against Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe's going to wreck him. And if he does it, it's going to be stupid because Hook is like, 5 foot nothing, 110 pounds soaking wet. Like, seriously. And Joe is a big monster. So I hope that you're smart enough to have Joe beat the shit out of Hook. which is stupid because you've been building this guy up. Send Hook. Send Hook. Hook's the big tough guy.
Samoa Joe.
Have you seen Hook? Have you checked him out?
I checked it out yesterday, actually, when we was talking about it, to get caught up.
And he comes up to Action Bronson, too.
Which is, you know, that's fine. That's
right, fine, but that's kind of, like, part of his hype is all of that.
Yeah.
Half of his hype is he comes out to that fire song.
That's the first thing I thought. I was like, is that Action? Oh, that's fine.
Right. But you've seen him, like he's a little dude. You're
yeah,
like,
of course.
Yeah. Like, and Action's a big dude, so it's, correct. It's very ironic.
But if like Action should have came out with his song, and this would be more believable, guys.
Like if Hook walked in this room right now, looking out like how he looks, like with his like tough ass look on his face, and got loud.
That's what I'm saying.
My money's on Lionel. Lionel will knock him out.
Oh my God. I am a citizen. Everything you ever heard is a myth.
He's lying, yo. Y'all see?
Ever happened?
Y'all see them weights in the corner, man. He can get to it.
It's rumored innuendo. I'm just saying. Listen, Hook.
My lawyer told me to say allegedly.
He said, allegedly. Citizen. Citizen.
I'm just saying. Listen, I don't.
My hat says girl dad. Okay, girl dad. That's what I am, guys. Girl dad.
I'm a girl dad. Yo, but it's like, I don't hate Hook. I don't.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, I like Taz. His dad, that's Taz's kid.
Taz was nasty.
I can see him in him, but then it's just not that bulky Taz. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like Taz without the bulk.
Right. Like Taz, like, it's like, man, Taz.
Taz without the spin.
It's like, Taz, were you like stealing meals from your kid?
I don't know what was that.
It's like Smash.
He was never the head of the table. That boy was at the back of the line.
Right.
Oh my God.
They're like, send Hook for the leftovers. We ain't feeding them real.
I've been dying this whole time, man.
But listen, Hook's going to have his match Wednesday. Please, Tony, lay off the coke a little bit. Just a little bit. A little bit. And like, come to reality just for a minute with me. Come to reality with me and make this match look believable. Don't send Hook out there and have him toss it around Samoa Joe. Especially because that's not Samoa. Like, Samoa Joe's the dude that does that. I'm not going to play your stupid shit.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I think I showed you the clip of him. Right. Dude, like, dives off the top rope and Samoa Joe just, like, steps out the way and lets him fall on his face.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah. Like, that's the dude.
That's why I'm definitely interested to, like, because now that we're talking about that, like, in that aspect, it's like, how are they going to pull that off? Like, that's very interesting because this is one of those moments where it's like, well, does Samoa Joe now
let
Tony Khan compromise his character?
Yeah.
Like, we talked about this.
And it's interesting because I get why. So, again, rumor and innuendo is the reason why this match happened is Samoa Joe has a tons of respect for Taz.
Okay.
Him and his dad are boys.
Makes sense.
I'm going to give your son. I'm going to give your son a little bit of shine.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But how much shine are you going to give him? Like, don't compromise your character.
That's what I mean.
Joe's
a
monster.
Don't change the DNA of the character by trying to pull off this wacky match. You know what I'm
Like, I think it says so much more if Joe goes in there and just whips him.
That's
everyone's just going to be like, oh, shit. What?
But then, like, well, no, because then what happens with Hook? You did all of this build-up.
But you can still... He lost to Taz. It's not like he was losing... Okay. And he lost to Joe. Okay. It's not like he was losing to a bum.
Yeah.
He's losing to a world champion.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Who's a big dude and has done it.
Run him on some side missions or some side quests afterwards. Build him back up. Yeah.
Like, think about this. Samoa Joe, former Ring of Honor world champion. Former NXT world champion. He, when they brought back Ring of Honor recently, he was the TV champion until he vacated the title because he wanted the AEW championship. He's like, I've been the TV champion for months. No one can beat me. I don't want this belt. I want the world title. I'm vacating it. So if anyone can go in and squash Hook and it doesn't destroy his character, it's Joe. So if they do it right.
Yeah.
If they do it right, you shock everybody. Everyone's going to tune in because that's the thing. It's a good match because people are going to tune in just like you to be like, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
Let's see if you can make this make sense to
me. Yeah, like, if you can make it make sense.
I'm in.
I can respect it. It's all about, see, it's not about Hook winning. It's about how he wins.
Yeah.
It's just about how you win. You can sell it. If you can set the match at the
right
way, you can sell it.
But you know he's not going to win because Hook right now is carrying his dad's
title. Tony Khan is not going to listen to your advice. He's going to hit the biggest bag tonight and start writing that script.
I'm telling you right now.
Especially if he listens to this. He's going to be like, despite, he's going to be like, what? Give me more.
I'm telling you right now, 28-2. 28-2, baby.
28-2, look. You better be. I'm going to be mad. I'll be talking. You hear me talking about it.
The next episode will go crazy.
We're not talking about Hulk. We're talking about Hook.
Correct.
Send Hook.
Are we ready to get into, like, the meat and potatoes?
Oh, yeah. Let's get into it. Let's get the tea.
Me
and my cup. Oh, I know you did.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you follow everything going on Twitter and everything, but Matt Hardy and Rebbie Hardy are breaking up. Their marriage is done. They've got their kids and everything, and this is getting dirty. Like, it's like they just wanted to make it wrestling. There was a TikTok. Rebbie Hardy dropped a TikTok, right? Mm. Where she says, it's a video of her that says, when Matt does you wrong for the last time or something like that.
Ooh.
And she's wearing a Matt Hardy t-shirt. She takes off her Matt Hardy t-shirt and she's wearing an Edge t-shirt. And it's the same Edge t-shirt from that live sex thing they did on, remember when Edge first got with Lita and she left Matt Hardy for him?
In the ring, right?
Yeah, and they did a live sex show in the ring.
See, that's what I'm saying.
That show is what Rebbie Hardy wore that. It was like, when Matt does you wrong for the last time, takes it off and she's rocking this freaking Edge shirt.
She doubled down, oh, yo. Man, she doubled down.
And people are mad about it. People,
I'm going to make sure I got that clip in the footage. This is crazy.
People are like, yo, that's messed. It's funny because, again, different generations, man.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do that now.
We've been laughing about it. We're laughing about it.
For sure.
I see dudes that are like, that's wrong. That's the father of her kids. Come on, bro. Come on,
like,
bro.
This happens every day, bro.
Right.
This is everyday stuff, bro.
And you know what's funny?
It is crazy because they've been together for 10 years.
10 years?
They got what? Two
October 5th, 2013.
Kids?
They celebrated their 10-year anniversary last year.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Three that kids, is that what they have?
I don't see how many kids, but wow, it's pretty interesting because it looks like Matt gave a reply. Let me read what he wrote on his Twitter. He retweeted a post and he said, if karma's a real thing, I'm good with it. I wonder what that's talking about there. Like,
yeah, who
this,
knows?
Is this his, is this like...
There's some drama.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, is, was Matt outside? Because that's what it sounds like to me. And right. It sounds like she got tired of his games and she's outside now.
Yeah, I don't know.
True.
The shirt was funny to me because the shirt, if you look at the shirt, it's the shirt, the Edge shirt that says, everybody has some edge in them. Oh, like, she went low.
Wait a minute. And then the karma?
Double down is crazy.
I don't know, bro.
The double down is insane.
I don't know. I can't. I don't think so. I don't think so. Like, because that would be detrimental. Let's be real. That's detrimental to her health. We're not in 19, in the 90s. Where Edge is just like this young wrestler running around sleeping with Lita.
Yeah, he's old now.
Yeah, but he's married to, what's her name? Beth Phoenix.
I mean, I don't know, man.
Edge is married to Beth Phoenix. Beth Phoenix will whip Reddy Hardy. Like, hey, you don't want to mess with that. So she doing some shit like that. I feel bad for her.
So she had put out a, it looks like she had took a video of herself, excuse me, alone in a chair on January 1st, 2024, accompanied by a caption, not my year.
Yikes.
She deleted the post. But it added some more intrigue to this conversation. So it's pretty interesting to, like, it's sad to see, like, any kind of relationships go through this public stuff. But like we said, we came up generationally different. So, yeah, like, we probably would have took it differently. But it's a whole different thing when you got, when you bring the peanut gallery into your relationship, you know, and you have celebrity status behind you. It's already crazy when freaking, you know, Day-Day and Thomas up the street and Sarah and Jim, they all are throwing that shit online all day, you know.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
They all do that all day. But, like, when you have a celebrity, you know, lifestyle behind you and then you have a 10-year legacy, man, we just need a little bit more tact.
Yeah, but she doesn't have it ever. If you look through her history, that's what Rebby Hardy does.
Yeah,
it's legit what she does. She goes out there and, like, always has something to say about everything. If something's, she don't like it, she's going to say it.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, it's funny because he retweeted a post of himself making a post. So it looks like he just went back to one of his old posts and he put always as the caption above that, if karma's a real thing, I'm good with it. This is very interesting. I want to see how, like, this is all going to develop over the next few weeks. It's pretty interesting. For me, like, I know that everybody goes through this and all that good stuff, but I always hope that, like, people can work it out in the end, especially when you got so many kids. And because that's what I always think about. Like, forget the two adults. I do think about, like, the kids watching it. Because, you know, like, kids take bullets they don't really deserve. You know what I'm saying? I watched people shoot up Blue Ivy for, like, 2 years and was calling her all kind of ugly. And I was like, this is a child, you savages. So,
yeah.
Once you let the internet in, man, it's a wrap.
Right. Right. And it's gotten wild. So I'm going to go off some of these tweets here. So Vita Scott tweeted this and Rebby retweeted it. In any facet of life, it's pretty wild how 99% of the time you're told someone is difficult. The actual story is something more like they stand up for themselves when someone is trying to take advantage of them.
Yeah, it looks like
she retweeted it. So I'm guessing Matt was probably doing some things that she wasn't feeling and she just was like, no.
Oh, no, definitely. Because this tweet right here, she had put up, does me dirty for the last time.
Damn.
And it started way back in December. December 17th, she tweeted, yeah, no. Updates coming.
So, you know, yo, and this is like the everyday stuff I see on Facebook my friends.
January 8th, she tweeted in all caps, unfollow me. Fuck all the way off.
Wow.
Like, you know. You know. That's got 377 likes.
This girl has had enough.
Like, oh, she, yeah. But that's the thing. She is like, she has no problem doing this. They were having issues with in Impact before, and she tweeted about shit with Impact. Same thing in TNA. They were having issues with booking in TNA, and she was tweeting about Tony Khan, and there were issues there. So Rebby Hardy has been known to not give a shit, not have a filter, and say how she feels on.
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh, here we go. Would you find something?
Uh-oh. Back in 2005, Matt Hardy had a real-life rivalry with Edge that made its way into a storyline.
Yeah.
The reason behind the beef was that Hardy's then-girlfriend Lita ended up cheating on him with Edge. This might be her way of rubbing salt on Hardy's old wound.
Right. Yeah, that's why he's heated.
That 100% goes to.
That's crazy.
So I don't know if you know that. So you remember
That explains the karma to me, too.
When they had that whole, the whole thing with Edge and Lita. Remember the live sex show in the ring?
Yes. That was wild. That was wild.
That goes to Vince. Yo, Vince is dirty sometimes. So, real life, Edge is dating Lita. Matt Hardy's dating Lita. Lita cheats on Matt Hardy with Edge. They get into a real life altercation in the back. And Vince was like, I'm just going to make good TV. Let's make this a
story. He said, content, content.
You know what's crazy, too? It's like a part of me wants to say, like, do you think that this could be, like, you know, like, I feel like I don't know if celebrities really be beefing or having going through divorces and stuff nowadays. Like, this is a part of the marketing scheme nowadays where it's like, hey, let's beef. And I wear the Edge shirt. This is going to be going. And now we're back in the cycle.
Yeah.
WrestleMania is coming. Hulkamania is coming. Our names are relevant. What do you think?
It could be that. And I was saying, if we see this play out into AEW, then it makes you question it all. Because they're both signed to AEW right now. Edge came back and they gave him the TNT championship. So Edge is holding a title right now. So how, you know, how great would, I don't think it would be great.
Given
like 2024. And I don't need to see Edge versus Matt Hardy for a title anymore. If this was a story and they bring it into that, that would be interesting.
I also wonder, like, because, like, is it always match-based? You know, you would be able to tell me, because, like, sometimes just a good storyline is just good to have on the side while you got all these matches going on. You know what I mean? So, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be match-based. It could just be the drama of that story that doesn't really matriculate into, like, I mean, because, like, what, like you said, I can't see Edge and Matt going at it again, like, after all of this time. So, like,
I mean, I can see it because it's Tony Khan. And he give him a little bit of coke, and he's like,
that's right. I'm talking about the coke and no screw, my bad.
It would be an interesting match, I feel like.
Yeah. There's some nostalgic value there.
That's the part of it that would hit.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm telling you. It might be telling us a storyline.
Yeah.
Because the fact that you're tying it back to that time, but they're in a different establishment, you still pull the emotional strings from that era that they was in, from that crowd that was watching, and you pull them over to yours. This resurgence.
So
of
even
it.
If it was so, it,
interesting.
True,
like,
true.
I think it's a real breakup. How dirty is it? And how much could they could have easily been like, listen, we're done.
Let's
capitalize on this. You know what we can do.
Yeah.
Listen, you're at the end of your career. Let's make one final run out of this.
Yeah,
I'll
honestly,
throw
true.
Name around, and we can get something out of this, and
honestly,
make a little bit of money.
One of my favorite rivalries were the Hardy Boys and Edge and Christian.
Right. Because
those
it was
matches
based
are
off,
legendary.
But it was
fire.
Based off of that.
Yeah,
and part of the reason that their matches were so good is because that emotion was real. You know what I mean? Like, Matt Hardy really hated Edge because he was banging his girl. It wasn't like, you didn't have to go up there and be like, all right, I need you to go out there and just pretend you hate this dude. Matt's like,
nah, I can actually, like,
I got that this guy again.
I got that covered.
You say, you don't got to tell me twice. All right, I'm already on that.
Think about it. You and your girl break up, and she starts dating some other dude, and you guys get into a brawl, and your boss is like, you guys are going to ride together from now on. We're going to let this play out and see what happens. Like, really? Like, they got in trouble. Like, they got into that fight, right? And then suspended them both. Mm. And then brought them back and was like, listen.
So that was in 2014 they got into the fight? A violent fight at the hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yep.
TMZ reported.
Vince, you know you're not right for that.
And Remy Sky.
No, that's a different one. That's Matt.
Oh.
And see, because they've had it back and forth. I'm talking about with
Lita. Like
Lita,
like 2005.
We were watching back in the day when all that happened. Lita really cheated on Matt Hardy.
No, yes. That's what I read earlier.
Yeah, Matt like
fled into a story. Remy wearing that shirt is just like, wow, you just like dug deep.
Wait, so they got into another fight in 2014?
Him and Rebby have been like on and off and getting into it here and there. Like,
she
says she's difficult. She's just fired.
Just listen, it's from 2014. Matt Hardy's wife not dumping husband after violent hotel incident. Matt Hardy's wife, Rebby Sky, is standing by her husband after a violent incident between a couple at a Virginia hotel and doesn't want to end the marriage. Sources familiar to the situation tells TMZ. So that's what I'm saying. Like,
that's only a year after they got married, too.
So that's 2014. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's like a whole like game that could be getting. Game here, like if it's already a part of the DNA, and even like if AEW is not like, you know, it, like yes, two things can be true. The situation can be real, but that doesn't mean that AEW can't capitalize on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
interesting. But like you said, that was a year after they got married.
Correct.
So they've been married for 10 years. They've been fighting the from whole the time. Beginning. Yeah. So at some point, something's got to give. And maybe 10 years into it, she was just like, all right, guess
that
what?
Makes sense.
This time I am leaving you. Remember in 2023 when you beat me up? 2013, you beat me up in a hotel? And I stuck by you? Nah, no more. I'm done.
That's it.
I'm done.
Enough is enough.
Right. It, sometimes that happens. You get to that point. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes.
Woo! In 2014, she posted, sometimes what doesn't kill you doesn't make you stronger. Sometimes it just makes you wish you had. Woo! This is interesting.
See what I'm saying? Damn. Like, yo.
All the way back then.
She's standing on business.
All right, so can I ask you a question, though? Because, like, I understand that, like, she's in a place where she's at, you know, she's talking about, like, how she's been treated and da-da-da-da. But this was a year after your marriage. You knew, at this point, what road you was partaking on. So do you really get to, like, gaslight society because of a decision that you made to stay with somebody for 10
years? For 10 years. 10 years is crazy.
I don't think you get the right to gaslight me, bro. And I think that's why... Like, once I see that, I'm like, I'm sorry, I might be a jerk, but once I see that, I'm like, fuck off, guys. See you later.
And that's why a lot of people, a lot of the IWC is like, oh man, she needs to shut up. She needs to go away. This is ridiculous. Part of it is that side of oh, I'm wicked soft and I'm upset that...
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But the other side of it is, yo, this chick has been doing this for a decade.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why would it, like, and like, again, like, I get this whole, like, thing of, like, some women are, like, victims and held hot. I understand those anecdotal situations.
Of course, yeah.
That is not this.
Right.
This is a person who has benefited from all the privilege and all the things, and this is just rich, crazy-ass people. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we talked about these before, like, people be having money and they get bored and fighting in the hotel. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
It just is what it is. You
know? And
you
that's her thing.
10 years, so I don't know if you can cry victim after 10 years.
And
bro.
She does this every time anybody
and
does something.
And four kids. That's just crazy.
Anytime somebody
four
does
kids
something,
is crazy.
She's all over the internet, all over Twitter. If you go from 2024 and just start 2014 and start scrolling up, next time we're here, you'll be like, yo,
yeah.
I got like 17 more tweets that she said about what situation was this? Wait, who was she fighting with for this one? Because that's how she is. And she's been told several times, yo, you got to chill. Like I said.
And just to clarify, real quick, just to clarify, I'm not saying that woman deserves anything that she might be going through. I'm saying at what point do you take accountability for yourself as an adult, as a mature person, as a mother, to say, I'm not even going to have my kids around this. Because once the kids are involved, there should be some kind of maternal clock, paternal clock in both of you that says, this is not conducive for our children.
100%. 100%.
So I'm not by no means advocating for no woman or making a woman feel like she's a victim and by staying in a situation. But at the end of the day, you also have personal accountability for yourself. And I would tell, this is what I would tell my own daughter. Please, for the love of God, have enough self-respect for yourself to know when it's time to walk away.
Leave his
ass. Before I have to put him in a casket because you have a father.
So again, it could be either way of this. It could be, man, she was just stupid and she stuck around, or maybe she was like, no, I said I'm gonna stay in this. We're gonna make this work. It's still young in our marriage.
Yeah.
We've got time to make it work. They had a family, they've stuck by each other, fought other people.
Yeah.
She's went out there and started fighting for him.
Like, yeah, yep.
Yo, y'all doing my husband dirty, this and that, to the point that her Twitter, if you don't follow her on Twitter, you can't see her tweets.
Yeah.
They're blocked.
Wow. Like,
they're not just like out
there. She has a private
timeline.
Twitter.
Yeah, she's got a private, you gotta like follow her and she's gotta accept it or you can't see it.
And she's definitely
but
not
that goes
accepting
back
no one's
to the stuff
request.
That she was saying, back to everything with Tony Khan, because like there was all kind of drama because she was tweeting about Tony Khan and the way that he was booking the Matt Hardy at one point. So it got to that. So but it's nuts. We'll see where it goes. We'll definitely follow up. Maybe we'll do some little clips on stuff throughout the weekend, update you on things going on.
We're going to have some good clips from this one. This was a great combo right here.
Oh, I know you're going to be like looking it up too during the week. We're going to have more. We're going to come next week and be like, yo, real quick, before we get into this, let's talk about Rebby Hardy.
Matt Hardy, you're a dick, and I always liked your brother better anyway.
Really? I'm the other way around. Matt Hardy, I got love for you. I know your girl's nuts. And your brother does too much drugs and alcohol. He's probably doing coke with Tony Khan right now.
Tony, yep.
Not wrong.
Thinking about how they're going to make this into a storyline and screw you over and get you into another fight with people. I'm just saying, but whatever.
We need that Hardy Boys documentary.
Oh, man.
If they don't have one already, that's
going to be a Dark Side of the Ring. I don't know if you guys ever watched Dark Side of the Ring.
Yes, yes.
That's going to be a Dark Side of the Ring one day. Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, for real.
They expose a lot of things on that.
That dude's a nut. But anyway, we're going to get out of here. I don't want to keep you too long because we can talk all night long
for
and you would just be here with us and you probably enjoy it and like it. But anyway, so next week, make sure you tune in. Next week is going to be, we've got back-to-back giant episodes. So next week, We're going to preview the Royal Rumble, but it's the anniversary of Hulkamania. So it's going to be a Hulk Hogan themed show. If you love Hulk Hogan, tune in. If you hate Hulk Hogan, tune in. There's probably going to be stuff on both sides.
I'm sure
people are going to, there's a lot of people that don't like Hulk Hogan because all the stuff that he said and stuff that he did, but we're going to break it all down. We're going to talk everything from when he beat Iron Sheik in 1986 to teaming up with Mr. T to No Holds Barred movie. We're going to talk everything Hulk Hogan. We're going to run down the whole gauntlet. We'll even get into Gawker.
We definitely got to get into that moment of all moments behind you and Nick, right between the two of you.
Andre the Giant.
We got to get into that.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about the NWO.
That's the beginning of, like, you know what I'm saying? Like
Gawker's going to be a good conversation. Yeah. I don't know. Just to kind of give you guys, any of you guys that don't understand the Gawker situation, Hulk Hogan actually bankrupt. Gawker went bankrupt after his lawsuit. They, like, did a video out on him. They leaked his sex video. and he sued them, right? And their argument was, well, you were on Howard Stern talking about your dick on Howard Stern. So, of course, we can do that.
Hey, wait a minute. I mean, who doesn't go to Howard Stern and not talk about their dick? I thought that's what Howard Stern. I used to sneak to listen to Howard Stern. Like, they're talking about dick and titties in here.
Well, here's the crazy part about it. Do you know why he won that case?
Why?
His argument was, well, that was Hulk Hogan on the Howard Stern show. If you listen to it, Hulk Hogan was talking about how he has a foot-long penis. Terry Bollea doesn't have a foot-long penis.
Oh, my God.
And that motherfucker won his case because of that. They were like, you're right.
Yo. Hey, yo. Cameron should have been his lawyer. He was like, hey, yo.
Real talk. So if you want to make sure you cover yourself, right? You want to talk about your sex life on the air or anywhere? Make it my character. Talk about your character and make it not real. Exaggerate it.
You got to be like, yo, my boy, right? Let me tell you some story about my boy. So my boy.
Well, like I said, just use a real name. Use a fake name. And that person's got a 3 foot long penis. And then you're good for anything else you do. Because that's not real.
Yo, that's the clip right there. That's the name of the title of the episode. 3 foot long penis.
I don't think we'll be able to monetize that one.
Yeah, right.
Hey, OnlyFans.
For real, right? True. But listen, tap into the OnlyFans.
So check that out next week. And then the week after that, we're gonna start working on the Smarkies.
Smarkies.
Ready to get that. So we got that coming the week after. So next week, Hulkamania anniversary.
Yeah,
40 years. It's gonna be 40 years of Hulkamania. It's gonna be great. I might even get a Hulk Hogan shirt and rip it off. No, I'm not gonna do that. But it's gonna be a good show. Make sure you check it out. I don't even know who's gonna be here with us. I'm guessing you'll probably be here.
Yeah, I'll show up.
I'll be in the building.
Maybe Galen will show up. We'll see who shows up.
I'm
opening the door to anyone that wants to come talk about Hulk Hogan with us. Come be on the show. Let's talk Hulk Hogan. Tell me how much you hate him. Tell me how much you love him. Let's talk 40 years of Mania and then get ready for the Royal Rumble. That's next week. And until then, actually, wait, before we go, anything either you want to tell people to watch?
Hey, man, just be looking out for some more content. Got a whole bunch of more stuff coming.
Yes,
I want Nick, he'll give you an update about his streaming coming very soon. So I'll let him give a quick update. But just, you know, subscribe, like, follow, share. Sharing is caring. We love y'all. We appreciate everybody who's enjoying the content. Let Nick talk about his thing real quick.
All right, here's the moment. I was on the last one with AG, and I didn't really like to say much, but I'm locked in now. Anyone that's in the video games, come tap in. I'm going to be doing weekly, bi-weekly episodes. First one's going to be on The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered. Woo! And The Last of Us in general, the whole franchise, Woo! Naughty Dog, all of that stuff. It comes out Friday, so I'm going to be playing it this weekend. And then next week, we could get to recording it.
Let's go!
Dope. And for everybody else, this week, make sure you check out AEW. Will this be out? Will I have this by tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely.
I want to check
this out. Lanelle be working, man.
Oh, I know.
Lanelle be working.
So make sure you check out AEW.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite, 8 o'clock on TNT. Check that out. See, Tony, I give you shit for doing a lot of coke, but I'm plugging your show. So just know that. I'm plugging your show, Tony. So know
he
that.
He doesn't hate you.
Right. I don't hate you. I just think you do too much coke, but it's all good.
Rehab.
But he said rehab. But listen, make sure you guys tune in next week. It's going to be a great show. We'll talk about Hook and Joe, too. before we get into Hulk Hogan. And next week, Hulkamania is going to run wild right here. And until then, for Larnell,
woo woo,
for Missile, I'm Sean Puff, and this has been Smarts, Spot Monkeys, and Super Geeks.
Let's go.
The Smarks in here, yeah. About to do before you do it.
Say what?
I telegraph your every move, and now you're just the coolest. Time to get into it. Moving to the music.
The smarks in here, the smarks in here.
Yeah.
I'm a smart mark. Yeah, I'm a smarky smart. I wrestle talk with Ollie Davis over Hallmark cards.
We're pink cards.
Subject to change, reigning the superstars.
I got a love hate relationship with pro wrestling.
I'm a smart mark. Yeah, I'm a smarky smart. I wrestle talk with Ollie Davis over Hallmark cards.
We're pink cards.
Subject to change, reigning the superstars.
I got a love hate relationship with pro wrestling.
Here.
What are you all daring about?